Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The following is a presentation of the 4Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the 4Center podcast feed, and this particular episode is called Favorite Points of View. I'm Joseph Scrimshaw, and with me is Ken Knapsack.
Oh, sir, we're continuing a great conversation last week that got me so excited and geeked up to be a Star Wars geek.
I also am geeked up to be a Star Wars geek. I normally start this particular podcast by saying hello there, like Obi-Wan Kenobi, and I just got so geeked up, I just didn't even look at my own notes. This particular podcast show that we do is called Favorite Points of View because it is all about that idea of the Obi-Wan Kenobi quotes of many of the truths we cling to depend greatly on our own point of view. In this episode, this podcast is about celebrating those different points of view. We ask listeners, in this instance, some of our patrons on Patreon, for a favorite of a thing that they like in Star Wars. And then I think it helps us all to just understand people's different perspectives and why they love the different things they love in Star Wars. We have done 2 episodes now. This is our second on favorite vehicles and ships in Star Wars, and I'm very excited to dig in. Ken, are you ready?
Let's dive in, my friend.
All right, then, Ken, you know what? Why don't you grab this first one?
Love it. This is coming to us from Joshua Bernard. Joshua writes, hey, Joseph, Ken, and Jennifer. I would have to go with the Tantive IV. By the way, I say Tantive IV, excuse me. I will always say it that way no matter what. And I'll pause right here from Joe. I understand what he says. The Tantive IV is how I grew up saying it. Then you can find it's the Tantive. But Ninum versus Ninum. Ninum is literally in one of my stand-up comedy acts on tape for years. And then to find out that, well, it's 9. We just didn't really get told that It's hard to change. It's hard to change. So, Joshua, I'm there with you.
It really is. And I think if the characters inside the galaxy can just go wild with their pronunciation, so can we.
So can we. So, pause there. Now resuming. Joshua writes, it has always been one of my favorite ship designs. And being the first ship we ever saw, I always thought it was cool. Then in 2019, when the 20th anniversary LEGO edition came out, I had to get it. It came with Princess Leia, Captain Antilles, and most important of all, Bail Organa, a.k.a. Space Jimmy Smith. This was the third edition of this set, and I was finally able to get this one. The X-Wing, Y-Wing, Falcon, TIE Fighter are great, but this ship will always be special to me. When I saw it in Revenge of the Sith, it brought back memories when I first watched Star Wars, not A New Hope, but Star Wars on VHS, and I was a kid again. It will always be one of my favorites, and when I saw it in Rise of Skywalker, I was excited again. In my mind, Nine Numb was able to recover the Tantive IV and fly it to safety. A lot in that. I feel you, Joshua, on a lot of things there, including I think Nine Numb and the ship are safe.
Yeah, that's, you know, Ken, that's where I want to go with this. First, I just want to hear your general feelings about this ship and then about talk about just a pronunciation bonanza here that you get to say Tantive IV and Nine Numb. How do you feel about the ship and its alleged fate?
Sad. I'm not going to Anakin this. I'm going to let it go and let Nine Numb if I have to. You know, and the novel has maybe a different take on it. The actor, the performer, has a different take on it, and I think the movie has a different take on it, and that's fine and fair in Star Wars. But it's just goes to show I'm emotionally connected to this ship and this character, but the ship, particularly, and I'm feeling what Joshua is feeling as well. It was kind of the first one, and you look at it and it's awkward and bumpy and clunky, and it's being chased by the super sleek Empire and the Star Destroyer is just overshadowing it. And you just kind of have a soft spot in your heart for that silly looking spaceship. And it's just carried on. I love that it's in Rise of Skywalker. It makes sense. And a Resistance too. And I love it.
Yeah, I'm right there with you on the love of this ship. I think this is so great that Joshua is focusing on it as like the first ship we see. And yeah, in that grand tradition, it is of Star Wars. It's a spaceship, but it's just a little different. And I think the interior, those white corridors, there's so much in A New Hope that is stark white versus stark black. And those white corridors that are like so strangely rounded. It's a place that has like just a ton of personality. And I think is in the original trilogy, such tip of the iceberg storytelling where you're like, I want to spend more time in those corridors. So it's so great when we actually get to.
Oh, yeah. The corridors. Yeah, that we talked a lot about that opening sequence and how I love the rebel troops and bushy eyebrow guy who I was convinced was Han Solo's uncle or cousin or something. Like, I just, as a kid, your imagination goes everywhere. And that's part of the appeal of that ship. Why, again, when it shows him a Rogue One and you're just in the hallway, like, I don't, nostalgia candy, stuff it down my throat. I loved it. I loved seeing that.
Yeah. Yeah. So I absolutely do not want to do this, but I feel I must, Ken. This is something that I have run into when studying for trivia. According to Wikipedia, the ship in Revenge of the Sith is the Tantive III, which is a CR-70 Corvette, and then the Tantive IV is the CR-90 Corvette. So I'm mostly just bringing that up to save anyone the time or energy of of tweeting that there has been an error. But because I think for myself as a fan just watching it, I just absolutely assumed that it was the same ship, that it was this great connecting thread, right?
Yeah, no, and I didn't want to, you know, yeah, yeah. But you're right. We have to, if we're on a Star Wars podcast, the letters that were being written the moment we said that, like letters, actual handwritten letters to correct us are true. But yeah, the Tantive III was the ship indeed. But, you know, which is part of the fun. It's part of the fun. But I also love, again, 9 versus Neen. I love learning those little details even later on and just trying to work them into your own head canon.
Yeah. And to me, it does not take anything away from what Joshua is saying, because the emotional reaction to that ship in Revenge of the Sith is exactly the same, regardless of whether it's an earlier iteration of a line of ships or the exact same ship, because it is that great connective tissue where I think there's something about seeing those white hulls, and there's something so heroic, even amidst the tragedy of Bail Organa, you know, father of Leia and builder of the rebellion, that Bail Organa, Space Jimmy Smith, as Joshua says, is himself a figure of hope. So to see him in those bright white halls going and rescuing Yoda and Obi-Wan, even though we're in the darkest part of the movie and the darkest part of this trilogy, and there's all this tragedy, the image of that ship and its connection to the original trilogy give the movie, to me, this moment of hope that's really needed.
It's again an emotional connection to the images and seeing, and going back to what you felt watching it whenever you watch Star Wars: A New Hope for the first time. It paints a picture. Again, the fact that Jimmy Smith's Bail Organa collects, you know, it's like he buys an Aerostar van. Every new year, he buys a new model. He's like that guy, you know. For a while, my dad had Volkswagen vans. We had every model. You know, like, it's just that's Bail Organa. Like, I need the new Blockade Runner. Give me that. But it all paints that picture. Connection to the first time you saw it and how you feel from that going forward from that.
Yeah. And the Wikipedia continues to bring the pain, Ken, saying on the Tantive IV page that during the battle, the Tantive IV was destroyed by Darth Sidious's Force Lightning attack. But I will say this, as a big fan of Rise of Skywalker, I think they should have either let the poor Tantive IV survive or lean into it and really let us see its end.
I agree with that. There you go. Yep. Proof we hate the movie. I think that should be. Yeah. No, I agree with you.
Yeah, but I would be happy because I know that there's been back and forth of this. Like, it is clearly not doing well. There's a lot of lightning going on. That's not his day. Things aren't going well, clearly. But you can kind of see what's going on to it as we really fade into Rey connecting with all the Jedi that have come before. So I, for one, I'll go out on this limb. I'm open to somebody writing a story that says, actually, the Tantive IV, Nine Num survived, and this is how.
He lands on Exegol. The ship's destroyed. Yeah, I'm there for that.
Yeah, absolutely. The next time we visit Exegol, it's just Nine Num has built an entire society there by himself. Fine with me. Great thoughts, Joshua. Thank you for starting us off with a favorite ship or ships, depending on how you look at it, and say it however you want, I think. We're going to move on to our next submission from Simon Huffnagel. Here's what Simon has to say. Simon says, I'm going to... Oh, I always do that when Simon sends in a thing, and I never mean it as a joke. I apologize. Here we go. Here's what Simon's thoughts are. I'm going to cheat in a couple of ways here. One, taking a page out of the Star Wars ranked book, I am putting the Millennium Falcon in my personal favorite points of view Hall of Fame. It is probably the honest answer for my favorite ship, but I want to give some love to another one. Two, I'm picking both a favorite ship and a favorite vehicle. Feel free to cut one for time if necessary. Unnecessary, Simon. Simon continues, my favorite ship is the hero ship of Star Wars Rebels, the Ghost. I absolutely love the Ghost. I love the Corellian design aspects that remind us of the Falcon, but with a symmetric ship layout. I love that she has an auxiliary shuttle for away missions, but mostly I love how important the Ghost has become to the history of the galaxy. She transported Mon Mothma to the formal creation of the Rebel Alliance. Mm-hmm. She's one of the first ships to ever take on a TIE Defender in canon. She was present for many major battles, including Scarif, Endor, and eventually Exegol. Finally, the Ghost is home to some of my favorite Star Wars characters. She's a great ship, and I can't wait to see where she will appear next. My favorite vehicle goes to Sebulba's Pod Racer. I'm a child of the prequel era, and in the pod race has always been one of the most thrilling sequences in the saga for me. I picked Sebulba's Pod Racer specifically because of the X shape from the front and the sound of churning death that the engines make. I always get a bit scared for Anakin when those engines are breathing down his neck. beautiful visual and sound design. Thank you, Simon, for the great thoughts and for all of the cheating, which we welcome. The Falcon does deserve to be in the Favorite Points of View Hall of Fame, and both the Ghost and Sebulba's Pod Racer are great choices. Ken, what are your reactions to the Ghost?
Man, I hear a little bit with both ships that fall into this kind of overall thought and statement from me. I love when new things become classics, and either they become classics quick or next, you know, you look back and it seems like those ships are always around. The Ghost emerges in 2014 and it's reminiscent of the Falcon, you know, and it kind of has, it's a part of this cartoon. What's going on over here? And now the Ghost just means so much to so many people, myself included. And I love that Simon brought up the Mon Mothma scene. That speech inside the Ghost that Mothma gave to the galaxy, to the rebellion, so powerful, such a key moment in Star Wars history. And it's there. And then it, Hera's ship and her being such a great pilot. And, you know, finally in the Forces of Destiny, her and Han debating on who's better and which ship is better. I love all that stuff. And the Ghost is just, it's part of the conversation now. It's not new. It's there and feels like it always was there. And same with Sebulba's Pod Racer for me. I could only imagine experiencing it like someone like Simon, seeing Phantom Menace in the theater and you're 6, 7, 8, 9 or that age group, the terror you must have felt in your soul at that as it comes up on Anakin's pod and Anakin himself. That would never have left me, much like I'm still kind of afraid of the Rancor monster from being terrified at it, of it at 7. It still has a moment of, oh, here we go. So all those well said stuff, Simon, really, really good. And I know I went to all the vehicles, Joseph, but
no, that's fine.
Just love it. Just love it.
Yeah. That's fine. Yeah, no, I think Simon has a lot of great things to share about the Ghost. I so agree about the design. There's so much going on in Rebels. Obviously, it's pulling from Macquarie, but as we've talked about before, it is in kind of the first foot out of the gate of what is Lucasfilm going to be like when they're under the Disney umbrella. And so there is something very classic, very original trilogy about the Ghost, and yet it is entirely its own. It passes that great sort of silhouette test of Star Wars where you can recognize it. There's not another ship quite like it. So I love it from all these aesthetic points of view, from all these story points of view. But I think one of the most powerful things about the Ghost to me is we've had ships that people have emotional connections to, you know, through lots of different storytelling. We know that the Falcon is Han's sloppy home. It was, you know, Lando's fun, well-appointed bachelor pad. Anakin has this weird relationship with the Twilight, the spice freighter he, you know, steals and uses for secret missions in the Clone Wars. So we've had these kind of personal connections. The Ghost is home explicitly, and we get to see those scenes. We get to see people's rooms, you know, we get to see Sabine personalizing her space, you know, we know where the common area is versus the rooms, and there is something about the fact that Rebels ultimately is really a show absolutely celebrating this big Star Wars idea of found family. Of course we need a home to celebrate that, and the Ghost is a cool ship, a fast ship, another great Corellian ship, but most importantly, it's home. And that's really, I think, a thing I'd love to see more ships that we get to spend that kind of time with.
Oh, yeah. No, there's just that certain feeling, that family, all the stuff you're saying. It's a great song. Song of home.
It's a place to sleep, eat, bicker. Everything you need to do as a family. In Sebulba's Pod Racer, I'm right there with you. This phrase churning, the sound of churning death that the engines make. It's the design is really cool. The just the aggressive orange of it. The sound is great, but the thing that always affected me, and it does every time I watch, is just that kind of character picture that not only is Sebulba thinks he's the best, he's unbeatable, the odds are all with him, and it there's this sense of overcompensation that his engines are so big. Mm-hmm. And just that kind of simple villain thing of, how could anyone beat me? My engines are big.
So
I love it. Love it. Great ideas. Great favorite points of view on a ship and a vehicle. Thanks for that, Simon. Ken, do you want to take us on to the next one?
I do. Aaron Thompson writes, I have a quick but meaningful one. It was love at first sight. The Jedi Vector. What I love about it is the symbolism that this new vehicle showed me. It wasn't included in the story for its overwhelming machinery or technology. In fact, it stays in parallel with the essence of what a Jedi is. The lasers can be adjusted, as not every conflict needs to end in death. The ship is lightweight and mechanical, so the Jedi pilot has a one-to-one interaction with the controls and can feel every gust of wind that moves it. To me, it feels an accurate companion to the Jedi. No frills and laser focused, which, by the way, that I mentioned requires a lightsaber key. Exclamation points on that one. I could go on and on, but maybe my favorite moment so far was when two vectors come swooping in to save the day with only one Jedi piloting a vector herself and the other through the Force right out of the gate. It was such a beautiful addition to Jedi lore for me. Did either of you, Joseph or Ken, have a moment or design detail that resonated with you? Aaron's asking us questions. Love that.
Yeah. Ken, you go first. Your thoughts on the vector and any design details that did resonate with you, like Aaron's asking.
Yeah. When it was revealed and before the books came out, it was, we heard a lot of things about, like, a lot of these are older designs laying around the production offices, so to speak, of what can we turn into what? And some of the bombers from the Last Jedi opening sequence, some of the designs that weren't used maybe showed up here. So, I don't know, you can have a tendency to go like, oh, is this like a used garage sale a vehicle for Star Wars? And in a way, yes, but they're smart enough to realize what they want to get out of it. And that design, oh, look at that. That symbolizes what we need. And so there's something to me about the light wispy wings that is just kind of cutting through the atmosphere, space, and the story just in full. And like Aaron says, just the Jedi just in full just connection mode with everything going on around him. I like that it's just not just lightweight, but it's just a wisp of a ship. And I love that.
Yeah, I think the design detail that I love is the wisp as well, because there is so beautifully almost nothing to this ship. It's like it's designed so well. It got the two normal side wings and then these kind of great cannons shooting out and these I don't even know functionally what part of the ship they are, but these, I'm looking at the picture of it, then these kind of two wing-like shapes heading out in the back. There's so nothing there to the ship just in terms of the amount of material that this is a ship that is all about trust, and this is a ship that has no fear, right? It's almost the opposite of Sebulba's, like, nothing could beat me. I surround myself with large engines. This is we don't need anything.
Yeah.
We're practically exposed to space, you know. If somebody breathes on this wrong, it might fall apart, but we have no fear whatsoever. It speaks to such confidence. And I really like that design when we saw it, but then when I read Light of the Jedi and we got into that lightsaber key stuff and that a lot of the controls are designed to be, you know, intuitive and used through the Force and have kind of a relationship with the Jedi, just the amount of the lack of fear and the confidence of that is so cool. And then it the lightsaber key in particular, it's this detail that is, it's so nerdy, geeky, cool. Because as soon as I read that, I just pictured doing it with my action figure whenever they make this, that it's got a part of it of, you know, I bang on about tip of the iceberg storytelling, and so much of the High Republic is just going off of that imagination of these Jedi when they were the absolute guardians of peace and justice. There's the, wow, they're really in tune with the Force. There's no fear. There's all confidence in the ship. That's the big, thematic version of that. But the just cool, that's awesome version of that is, and then they use their lightsabers to, is the key to start these ships. It's just like the fun, just space fantasy detail that makes it so cool.
Yeah, that was one of those icing on the cake indeed. I love it. I was going to talk about Sebulba's pod racer. I was going to maybe take some real world shots at certain vehicles and owners, but I don't want to do that. And that's not fair. I want to be above that. I want to be like the Jedi. But everything you just said describing the Jedi ship, the Jedi Starfighters, which I think can move forward in the Star Wars story with the different versions of Jedi Starfighters, it all kind of has that same kind of vibe. But we know what we can do. We'll just do it. Thank you very much.
Yeah. And I also just love that detail that you learn early in Light of the Jedi that they're just a bunch of these. They're everywhere. They aren't any one Jedi. Just take it. But that's still, even within that, some Jedi are like, yeah, but this one's mine.
Yeah.
It's a very great human detail. Any other thoughts on the Vector or Aaron's comments?
I mean, the only thought, I think you and I have even touched upon it when talking about the High Republic, and we will again. I want a playset of it. I want it. I want the toy. I want it in my hands.
Yep. I need a Vector action figure, please, please, please. And not just a Vector Funko Pop. They haven't quite gone that far yet, but maybe we'll probably get a Funko Pop of Loden Great Storm in a Vector. And I'll take that. No offense to Funko Pop, but I want my 3 3/4 traditional action figure and sticking that little lightsaber key in, and then it goes pew, pew, pew.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Great thoughts, Aaron. Thank you so much. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with our final favorite points of view on ships and vehicles in Star Wars. We will be right back.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Radio.
Hey, 4Center friends, make sure you're keeping up to date on all the great content from Jennifer Landa. Whether it's YouTube, Instagram, or TikTok, you whippersnappers, 4Center's own Jennifer Landa continues to bring you fun, informative, and insightful laughs and moments.
Also, Jennifer brings her experience and perspective as a Star Wars-loving mother to her DIY projects, blogs, and more. So be sure to head on over to JennyLanda.com. That's JennyLanda.com for articles like how to make your own Darth Maul sneakers or 10 unique Star Wars baby gift ideas.
Follow Jen on Twitter and Instagram at Jennifer Landa and on TikTok as JenniferLanda1138.
And we are back to finish discussing favorite points of views on ships and vehicles in Star Wars. Thanks to everyone who sent in some thoughts. Ken, why don't you take this one too? Because I forgot where we were at in our rotating.
I'm happy to. You know, we can't be too rigid. We got to flow. We got to flow with the living force and cosmic force. This one is from Chris Lentz. Chris writes, I was really excited to sit down and write a long, detailed bit about my reasoning for loving the Outrider because Dash Rendar rocks. Oh, gosh, I had to read those words, Joseph. the wicked frat house wannabe bad boy nature of the Night Buzzard, or maybe how you can feel the engines of Sebulba's Racer in your soul when it chugs along the screen. But at the end of the day, my favorite Star Wars ship will always be the one that literally screams through freaking space. The pilots wear black jet black armor. They're metal as hell. I love that. For no other reason than they're just badass looking and sounding ships. Tie until I die, writes Chris Lentz. Wow. Okay. That was a journey for me. Look, I actually like the Outrider. All right. I want to put that out there. I like the Outrider. I'm not a huge fan of Dash Rendar, but that doesn't matter. His ship is cool. I'd hang out with that there too. So Chris, we're okay. They're metal as hell. I love that description of the TIE fighter. It's true. There are no shields, no hyperdrive. You can barely see out of them, but man, I kind of like the idea of flying them. Joseph, what say you?
Yeah, I think it was the will of the Force that allowed me to forget where we were in our rotation of reading these so that you did have to read the words because Dash Rendar rocks. I like the whole approach that Chris is taking here, running through some runners up and then getting to the final metal choice of the TIE fighter. And just a real perspective, it's great. This is part of the reason I really like doing this podcast is we all bring different things from our own personality, our own life experience about what we like in Star Wars. And everything that Chris is describing, using the phrase, metal as hell, is telling me that Chris likes the screaming, dangerous, as he says, wicked frat house wannabe bad boy nature of kind of ships. And this is a great collection of them, of Sebulba's Racer, which we just talked about, the Night Buzzard, which, yeah, come on, that is. That could have been the title of a metal album in about 1988. Like, it's the Night Buzzard Tour. Great, weird ship. But the one that we're talking about that Chris came down to is the TIE Pilot. Yeah, I can hear Metallica singing For Whom the TIE Screams right now. It is really impossible to argue with the TIE Fighter is one of the greatest ship designs. The X-Wing is, of course, utterly classic. We talked about it on the last episode. But the X-Wing and the TIE Fighter are like this perfect partnership, right? Of like really saying, look, this is our space fantasy movie, but we're spending some time with these kind of science fiction ships. And these are how different they can look. Something as cool and different as the X-Wing. And then this TIE Fighter, which is just bizarre, barely not like traditionally aerodynamic like the X-Wing with its thrust forward. It's this weird ball with these huge wings, but somehow it just looks as cool as hell. And more than anything, it sounds cool as hell. That is the scream, the whine of the TIE Fighter is one of the most iconic Star Wars sounds for a reason. And it is powerful all by itself because it sounds just scary and strangely powerful and demonic. I'm totally getting into Chris's metal mood. It's like the Empire's coming for you. every time. But it's also like just one of the things that I always go to when, you know, we're talking about like, well, does this make sense? How does this physically work in the Star Wars galaxy? Is this true? I always go to, you know, but the spirit of the story is the TIEs scream in space.
Yes.
This is not science fiction storytelling that is like, well, but there is a vacuum and sound wouldn't travel. No, the TIEs scream in space. And for me, that's always the starting point of any physics or practicality discussion in Star Wars, because that's the storytelling. The TIEs are not practical ships.
No.
The sound shouldn't be there technically, right? But it is, because that's the power of them.
Yeah. And hey, look, I love the TIE Interceptor for trying to correct the vision problem, and that's a beautiful ship too, but everything still kind of remains the same. It's so iconic, and I love you connecting to just what it represents. We always talk about the why in Star Wars, and that is no small why.
Yeah, not at all. And before we move on from Chris, I will say I did pull up the Outrider to just look at it a little bit here on the side. And yeah, I mean, Dash himself is a little shoulder pad heavy for me aesthetically, but I cannot say a single critical thing about the Outrider. It is a damn cool ship. Much like Ghost, really building off of what's cool about the Falcon, but still making it entirely its own things. The Outrider is a super great ship.
Yeah, you know, I used to drive an Infiniti I-30, but I always looked at the cooler I-30s cooler Infinities and coveted them too. There's you know, a lot of different ships under the same model.
That is exactly right. Thank you, Chris, for the great metal thoughts. We're going to move on to our final favorite point of view on ships and vehicles in Star Wars, and I'll go ahead and read this one. This one comes from Will Culbertson. Will says, "My favorite vehicle is the shuttle Tidarium. Not only is it an exceptionally cool design, but its role in the events leading up to the destruction of the second Death Star should really put it in the Hall of Fame right next to the Falcon. First, the design. There is something just viscerally cool about how the wings of a Lambda-class shuttle expand and contract. I don't particularly know why they do that, and frankly, I don't care. It's just so cool. And I've always thought the viewport and cockpit make it look like some kind of bird of prey, at once both menacing and calculating. And when the two flanking wings are down, its centerfoil makes it look like a shark. Now let's talk about its history. According to Wikipedia, Shuttle Tidarium was originally stolen by Nine Num, yes, the Nine Num, during Operation Yellow Moon, and then later used to transport the strike team down to the forest moon of Endor. We get a couple of great character moments during the trip, Han and Chewie debating whether the Imperial code they transmitted would let them slip through enemy lines. Luke sensing Vader and Vader sensing him back. It's a tension-filled sequence and one of my favorites of the film. And now for a bit of headcanon. I'd like to think that at some point between The Last Jedi and The Rise of Skywalker, Rey, having heard all about the legendary exploits of the Tidarium as a child, bought Nine Num a drink and asked him to recount the tale of how he stole it in the first place. And I'm sure she would be geeking out just as hard as we would. Wow, that is great. Great headcanon. You know that we appreciate headcanon of any two Star Wars characters swapping stories while having a drink or being at a campfire. So either of those places, great. And great design thoughts, great actual history of the ship thoughts. Ken, what resonates with you about Will's description of the shuttle Tidarium?
I mean, first of all, let's just call this episode the Ballad of Nine Num. Like, that's just all over the place, as he should be. One of my favorite characters. You're speaking my language here. I'm trying to think of a Star Wars ship that I can say that I don't like it. Like, you know, there's some that I like less without a doubt, but the shuttle Tidarium specifically is one I grew up with. It took me years before I knew that it was a Lambda class shuttle. I just thought it was the shuttle Tidarium. Like
it was the Imperial shuttle. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But the design, the bird-like design, it's a raven. It's an eagle, an evil eagle waiting to swoop into action. And then not for nothing, the front, yeah, the cockpit, the whole, he describes it as a shark. But yeah, no, it's elegant in its own way. Therefore, I've always loved it. And yeah, without it or that class of shuttle or without it being right there, Luke maybe doesn't get off the Death Star. So I'll take that as well. I have a lot of them. I'm thinking about I don't have like a big set. I definitely didn't have it from back in the day, but like I have a little like the Matchbox kind of micro ones. I have a couple of Lambda class shuttles around my house because of the design. And I also, you know what? I also have one. It is, there was a Japanese kind of themed store at the mall I used to work at, and you could go in and find someone, you know, candy and all these kind of things. And there was just a collection, a little collection of Japanese Star Wars toys, licensed, I do believe. I don't have the box anymore, but it was random. You didn't know what you got. You could get an Imperial Walker, you can get an X-Wing, and I bought it, and I got the Tidarium.
Oh, wow. Oh,
yeah, I still have it, and you kind of have to snap together. It's a tiny, like, 2-inch wide model. You had to snap it all together and put the pieces together. And I just loved it. I love that there. Star Wars doesn't just translate to all worlds, culture, societies, and fans. The ships themselves do. And there you go. I have a positive memory of the shuttle Tidarium indeed.
Yeah, there's so much here. I love how Will breaks it down from the design. So right. It was such a great addition back in 83. And the bird of prey thing is that's right on the money for me, of just like the angle and the intensity of that cockpit. I was lucky. This was one of the only big ships that I had the Kenner toy of. And I think it's because I didn't get it until, you know, years after the movie, because I think it was probably on discount. And I thought it was so cool. I spent so much time pulling those wings down and flying it, and then having them go back up as it landed. And I still have it. And I still have the box that it came in. But at one point when my family moved, because we moved around a lot, my brother took it upon himself to warn the movers that it was to be handled with care. So I have the cool original box of the Imperial shuttle from the 80s. But then it says in big red marker, "Handle with care, chump." I think my brother was going through a Wolverine phase and was referring to everyone and everything as chump.
Chump, love it.
Chump or bud, the way Wolverine did back in the 80s. So a lot of memories of just like visceral memories of the design. Will is so right about that being a great scene. So many things happening. The classic line, fly casual, in that moment. And, you know, I don't think the Empire had Wookiees in mind when they designed it. All sorts of great stuff. Great stuff there. And in terms of the storytelling of Nine Numb, yeah, that is from the book Moving Target, A Princess Leia Adventure, one of the Journey to the Force Awakens books. I haven't read it in a while, but back when I did, I remember just really enjoying it, that it had a bunch of really flavorful details about Nine Numb enjoying a tipple now and then. And I believe this story is framed by PZ4CO, which is a fun detail too. So if you're looking for, I think I read this like in one sitting. It's a shorter book. If you're looking, if that sounds enticing to you to spend some quality time with a Nine Numb stealing a ship while Leia's trying to hide away because the Empire really, really wants to find her, this is a great read. And the headcanon of this ship mattering and somebody telling Rey about it, Nine Numb in particular telling Rey about it is pretty great, since Rey is a connoisseur of ships herself.
Yeah, what I love about that little headcanon story is just the Rey would invest in Nine Numb regardless, right? I think her relationship with BB-8 and everything, just she would be there. Like, what's your story? She'd want to know. I get that. And then I see Rey because of the way she was raised. I don't know. You know, her social skills might be a little different. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how many bars at Nima Outpost she was frequenting. So I love this idea. Maybe even it was like Leia, or like, "Hey, kid, you got to go have a drink too. It's fun. Like, just go hang out and talk to people. Like, you'll like it." And so I just like her kind of sliding up to the bar. This is my headcanon of just kind of being like, what? Like, almost like Luke and Tatooine, just kind of like tapping on Wu Hair's, you know, pulling on Wu Hair's arm, just like, I'll have one of those. Even though I believe Luke hung out with Cammy and everyone down at bars. But you know what I mean? Like, Nine Numb just going, let me get your first round. Let me get your, and she's just kind of like, this is great. And just kind of her relaxing and enjoying the company and enjoying this world around her, something she didn't really get to experience growing up. I'm there for that headcanon.
Yeah, that's, I love the way you're painting the picture. And I'm thinking of this young woman who grew up rummaging through Imperial and Rebel ships and living in the belly of that that AT-AT, and putting on that helmet. That she's got to love a story of like, hey, this is one of the big, big turning points in the Galactic Civil War was when we took one of those Imperial shuttles that maybe you rummaged through back on Jakku, yeah, and we made it work for us.
Well, yeah, there's one in Aftermath, right? Isn't it Nor-Wexley? Don't they have one? Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Ooh, yeah, there you
yeah,
go.
Yeah, I would assume there is. So great. Great choice, Will, and great description. We want to thank everyone for sending us their favorite points of view on these ships and vehicles of Star Wars. We will put out another request for favorite points of views on something in the Star Wars galaxy soon. Ken, any final thoughts from you on ships and vehicles?
Always love doing this. Always love hearing from our listeners who make our community what it is, whether it be on Discord or here on this show. Love seeing these names. Like Simon helped me with that list of episodes so I can start correcting the old broken ones and the old links. Love it. Just everyone coming together to celebrate Star Wars, and it's what we want to do here. So thanks to all of you submitted stuff.
Yeah, excellent. Ken, where can they find your other adventures?
Hey, real simple. Just follow me at Ken Knapsack or go to KenKnapsack.com. That'll take you to anywhere you need to go. I do have my podcast, Casterly Talk, still going strong. And a lot of, I bring it up because a lot of Game of Thrones related news starting to pop up again. Casting for House of the Dragon prequel series and all that kind of stuff. And I'm in the middle of a big rewatch of the series and going through the themes and lessons of every episode. So head on over there if you want to check it out.
Excellent. Yeah, we're going to get that explosion of the HBO Max wants a slate of Game of Thrones, right?
They want your Game of Thrones money.
And they are probably going to get it from me. You can find me on all the social medias at Joseph Scrimshaw. You can check out my other podcast, Obsessed, Comedy Albums, Future, Online, and live shows eventually, all on my website at josephscrimshaw.com. You can like Force Center on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Force Center Pod and buy our merch at tpublic.com/user/Force Center. You can support our Patreon by visiting patreon.com/Force Center. More fun stuff coming there soon. Thank you all so much for listening. And as Obi-Wan Kenobi once said, another happy landing.
Step onto the legendary clay courts of Roland Garros, where the world's best players battle it out at the French Open for a chance to win a Grand Slam title. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. See the action unfold as legends fight for glory and new rivalries emerge. Daily live coverage begins Monday, May 20th, with match replays on demand so you never miss a moment. From the first serve to the final point, Roland Garros promises unforgettable moments and new chapters in tennis history. Stream now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Whether you're making the same breakfast that you have every day or baking a cake for an extra special day, eggs are a staple in our diets. Eggland's Best eggs are nutritionally superior to ordinary eggs, containing more vitamins and 25% less saturated fat. Not only are they better for you, but Eggland's Best eggs taste better too. There's a reason that they're America's number one eggs. Visit egglandsbest.com for additional information and delicious recipes.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more,
are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.